It's good to see you today. A couple of things. How many people are here need a job? Does anybody need a job that's here? Put your hand up. All right. Okay. All right. All right. Wants to pray right now. All right. And there's some others. Donnie McConnell's not here today, but his job is going to be up as of October 1. So there's another one needs a job. So let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, you are the revelation of God to man. You're Lord over all, and we bless you. Father, we come to you. We saw you on the mount. There you were, Yahweh Yireh, the God who provides for his people. And I'm asking you, Lord, today, these that have boldly put their hands up and said, I have a need, I'm asking you, Lord, that you'll provide for this need, and we can praise your name because of that. We bless you in Jesus' name, we pray. And we pray believing. Amen. Another question. How many of you have gotten a job because as you've been a part of this fellowship, people prayed for you? Would you put your hands up, please? Look around you. All right, praise the Lord. We praise him for that. Been a lot of stuff happening in the world right now. I want to remind you, when stuff is happening in the world, the place you need to start looking first is Jerusalem. You start looking there, you look at Jerusalem, you look in Israel, and you see what's happening and what's going on. And then measuring everything else by that. The anarchism that's taking place in Great Britain right now, no small thing. In fact, some of the places where it's taking place, we were in those places. I've actually walked in those very places where that stuff is breaking out. But please be in prayer. Be in prayer for our leadership right now. All those who are in leadership right now, they need our prayers. They need us to be with them, behind them, interceding for them. Our president, our Congress, local leaders, our state leaders, they all need our prayers right now. So let's make sure when God prompts us to pray, we'll pray for them. Pray for direction for them. And pray that God will use us in these times. Now, if you have your Bible, you can turn to the 12th chapter of Luke. We're going to put the verse up here. But today, subject of today's message is taking a vacation from religion. Now, when you vacate something, that means you leave, right? But of course, none of us, when we go on vacation anymore, do we ever really leave, because we're still tethered to the world. By what? Internet, cell phones, carrier pigeons. We're still connected. But what we're talking about today, we're going to talk about today, is really vacating, taking a vacation from religion altogether. Hear what this verse says. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but have no rich relationship with God. Let's pray. Now, Lord, I'm asking you that you'll open your word to us today. Clearly and plainly, let us hear from you. Speak to us. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let me give you a couple of definitions. What is religion? Well, the way I'm using the word today, it is man's attempt to reach up to God. Can you see anything in the world religions that have been attempts to do that. Every time you see a pyramid, a ziggurat, I mean, it's one more Tower of Babel that's mentioned in the book of Genesis. We're going to climb our way up to God. We're going to, by our own effort, in some way, get up to God. That's religion. That's not what God designed. And that's not what this verse speaks about. This verse speaks about a rich relationship with God. How did God do it? He came personally. You know, He sent the prophets. He sent all these messengers. Book of Hebrews says in verse 1, but God in these last days, He's spoken unto us by His prophets, spoken to us, but in these last days, He has spoken unto us by His Son, the Lord Jesus. God came in the flesh. We speak of this often. If you're looking for complication in messages and sermons, you've come to the wrong place. There's a simplicity to what we come back to, the stackpole of the truth again and again. God came to us in the flesh, in the person of His Son. Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, a relationship that we have through Him is this gift of God. God coming to us personally. Not us going to Him, but Him coming to us. That's why in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, it's so in verse 20, it's so descriptive there where the Son is knocking on the door. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. There is the picture of Jesus knocking on the door. Jesus coming to you. And listen, by the way, just a key for evangelism today and the people that are around you, you don't have to doubt the fact that God is already speaking to them. Already. He's already moving in their lives. He's doing things. He's acting. And when we come alongside and when God brings us into their lives, what He is doing through us, He is bringing us to cooperate with Him in what He's already doing. Can you see that? Can you see that, how it happened in your own life? As you go back and you try to trace all the ways in which God was after you, He was chasing you down out of His love because He wants a relationship with you. Does that make sense? Yes, Brother Dusty? No, Brother Dusty. Okay. So, I've put religion and relationship, as we've done many times before, in opposition to one another here. Religion, man's attempt to get up to God. Relationship, God coming to man. Sovereignly, the greatest love gift, the greatest rescue mission, the greatest thing that has ever happened in the history of mankind. It is, that's why you have to understand history. History is organized around the coming of Jesus. All of history has to be understood through that lens. All right. So what's the problem with religion? Here's a few problems with religion. Just give you a few. I've got five of them today. The first, religion is our attempt to reach God on our own terms. In this way, man thinks he can merit a trip to heaven. Oh, Lord, I've done enough good deeds. I've got enough sky miles to get me there. Think about it. And you see, what this does is essentially it puts man in charge and not God. Secondly, religion is confusing. It tends to move from one set of rules to another set of rules. It's all about man. Man is the center of the religion. Man makes the rules, and when the rules don't suit him, what does he do? Makes a new set. It's kind of like you have to be of a certain age to have ever had this experience, but in Sandlot baseball, when I played Sandlot baseball coming up, we were always playing in an area. We weren't playing on a real field. We were playing out in the dirt street over between 59th and 60th Street, out in the dirt. And there were certain rules, or playing in somebody's backyard, and you could hit it over this fence, it was a home run. But if you hit it over this fence, it was three outs, because the old lady that lived next door, she'd cuss you out if you hit it over this fence. So, but then she moved. So you changed the rules around. Or if you hit the fence in the air, it's a grand slam, you know. Man's religion is confusing. And you look at the multiplication of religion, just go on the internet, but don't spend much time with it. Man, you've got all kinds of stuff. I still go back to that one that John Gladden showed me years ago, the Church of the Brown Chihuahua. I looked for it the other day, but that church has gone out of business now. All right, a third thing. I know I'm moving a little fast for some of you, but hold on. Religion will rob you. You see, God has a plan of personal relationship with you. Jesus wants to come into your life. And see, what religion does, it robs you of that. Because it makes you think you have something that you never possessed. It makes you think that you're in this relationship with God when you're not. Because if your salvation is based on anything that you do, it's not salvation at all. Because the Scripture says it is a free gift. Free gift. You go to Romans 3:23, all sin comes short of the glory of God. 6:23, the wages of sin is death. What we ought to get paid for our sin is death. That's what the payment, that we should be separated from God forever. But, the verse goes on, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We get a free gift. And it's bad that you have to say free, put free in front of it, because gift implies that. But in our society, we have to do that, because I have so many people showing up, well, I have a gift to give you. And what do you look for in every gift? Where's the hook? Where's the hook? A friend of mine Friday night called me up. He called me two or three times. Another preacher here in town. To volunteer to do something that was work. Did you hear me? And he got on the phone, he said, Dusty said, you don't get me these calls. He said, I'm inviting myself to come help you work. I said, I'm looking around. I said, I'm looking now around in my car to see if there's a camera from Candid Camera. And I said, where's the hook? You're going to put the screws to me somewhere here. There's got to be a hook in it somewhere. He said, no, 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 no. He said, I was praying, and the Lord just told me I need to do this. I said, praise God. But see, religion will rob you of that experience, won't it? Because it puts man's junk in the in the place of God's grace and mercy. Number four, religion will kill you. How will it kill you? It'll keep you away from Jesus. You'll never get the new life in Christ.
because you'll always be trying to keep up the rules and the regulations that man has made. Now let me tell you, I believe that in the Western world, that's where most people are in the church. It's just my opinion. I can't prove that. Only God knows that. But most people think, because I attend church, or I've joined a church, or because I do this, 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 or this, I'm okay with God. When God's made it very plain, it's all about grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's nothing. It has nothing to do with what you have done. I've told you many times, you got a 100-foot cavern to span with a rope. Will a 99-foot rope do it? You almost got there. You've got to have a rope that'll span the whole 100 feet. And you see, you've got to have a Savior that'll do all. Did you hear what I said? All of the work. Now, then, where do your works come in? Verse 10 of chapter 2 in Ephesians, we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Then we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. After He's already come into our lives, then the works come and proceed out of that. Because then it's the power of God doing that through our lives. And number 5, religion will give you a false comfort and hope during difficult days. And I'll have to say, I put in my notes, like right now. A false comfort and hope, religion will give you that. Will make you think, oh, it's okay. You keep doing this and doing that. No! We've got to depend upon God. It's an editorial. I'll preach another message on this, hopefully real soon, but I still don't think America gets it. I still don't think that we've answered the bell that God is ringing for us right now. Now, that's just my opinion, but I plan to expound upon that in the near future. So, how's religion work? Let's look at a few passages of Scripture. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 18, his story. How's religion work? You do good things, but not the best things. Let me read you this story very quickly. A ruler questioned him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one except God alone is good. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these things I've kept from my youth up." You believe that? And when Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess, distribute it to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, come and follow me." But when he heard these things, this rich young man, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to enter the kingdom of God." That's not talking about a break in the wall that they called a needle and you had to unload the stuff off the camel before it could get through. What he's talking about is the miraculous experience of a little eye of a needle and a camel getting through it. It's talking about a miraculous experience. "For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." They who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" You see, it takes a miracle for anybody to be saved. Who can be saved? And he said, Things that are impossible with man are possible with God. You see, here's a rich young man. He had every chance in the world. He had been schooled. He had been schooled in the law. He knew all that. He knew the commandments. He had walked in a religion. He had walked in all of that, and yet here he has the Son of God standing before him, and he misses it. So you can't help enough little old ladies across the street to merit getting into the kingdom of God. You do good things, but not the best thing. He had spent a lifetime doing good things, but he missed the best relationship. And see, that's at the heart of worship, too. Because if you have that relationship with Him, then as you are then baptized in the Holy Spirit and you are filled by Him as we worship, even our worship comes out of that relationship with Him. Do you see how simple it is? It becomes a praise to Him. Our lives become a praise to Him. Secondly, how does religion work? Well, you get concerned about the good things and not the God things. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, another story. Very quickly, read this story, verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him. Remember the story now? She welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. And Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. She came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord answered and said, "Martha, Martha, 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 Martha. Martha, you missed it, darling." Well, that's exactly what it says, but that's essentially what it meant. "You're worried and bothered about so many things." Can't you hear the tone of his voice in it? "Martha, come on, sweetheart. You missed it. You missed it. You're worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." What part had she chosen? She was at the feet of Jesus, worshiping. You see how she got distracted by good things and forgot the God things. That's why it's so important to hear God's voice in your life. Number three, how's religion work? Well, form is substituted for function. Form is substituted for function. Go with me to Matthew 26. Didn't know you was going to have a Bible drill today, did you? Matthew 26. Verse 47. Matthew 26, 47. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Where are they? In the Garden of Gethsemane. After the upper room experience, they're down there, and all the things, he's getting ready to go to the cross. Verse 48. Now he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, and who's one betraying him? Judas Iscariot. Two names that you seldom find children named. That'd be kind of like in our day calling somebody Adolf. Or I just put Hitler in your middle name there. Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. Immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you've come for." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. You know, Shakespeare did not invent the term the kiss of death. It's from the Scripture. You see, here's Judas performing an outward action, going through the motions of a kiss, when actually it meant the opposite of what you normally would think a kiss would mean. You see, that's what happens when form replaces function in the church, in the body of Christ. We start worshiping the form. Okay, one of the biggest ways that is replaced, we began probably in about the 3rd or 4th century to begin calling buildings where the church had a meeting. We began calling those buildings the church, which is heresy. Because if it's the church, then that means the Chinese are just tearing down churches all over. That's not what's happening in China right now. They're mowing down buildings, and every time they go to mow one down, it's like the guy trying to put out a fire with a big old wide broom that's real dry. He hits the fire with it and then goes back to hit it again. And what does he do when he goes back? He throws more sparks on the dry stuff that's over here. And that's what's happening in third world countries and in China and other places in Asia today, in Africa right now. That's what's happening to the message of Jesus. It's spreading like wildfire. You see, they're not allowing the form to replace the function. Oh, we got to have that meeting at this time or at that time. Big deal. Big deal. We'll have more on that later. How's religion work? Well, there's a promise without production. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of this good news about Jesus. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, Jews first, then also to the Gentiles." You see, religion promises us a different life. But what does it deliver? The same old stale life. What does a relationship with Jesus promise? A changed life. And what does it deliver? A change you can't even begin to imagine. A change for a lifetime. And I'm looking at many of you that have experienced that change. Your life is different today. You don't think about things the same way. You're not the same person. And finally, how's religion work? Well, it takes you out from under God's protection. Hear what Matthew 6:33 says. "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You see, we got to seek Him. As we seek Him, we're under His protection. But when we're not seeking Him, when we're not going after Him in relationship, where does that put us? Out from under His umbrella. And there are a lot of people out from under His umbrella. You see, religion would take us away from Him, but a real relationship moves us right to His heart. And we dwell under His protection in such a way that we're probably willing to charge hell with a water pistol. That kind of power will come into our lives. and when the junk that's happened. Let me just ask you, a few of you here today. Since you've come to know Jesus, some of you have known the Lord for a long time. Think about some of the things that are happening in your life right now. Some of the hellhole kind of circumstances that are going on with you right now. What if those things had been happening to you in your before Christ days? What would you be doing? Where would you be? So many of you would be in the bottom of a liquor bottle. Or you'd be downtown, let's try to get a few hits. Let's find anything to try to drown the fact of what's really going on in my life. But yet, you have the power of God today in your life. And what does it drive you to do? It drives you to your knees. It drives you to the power of God. It drives you to a relationship with Him. It drives you to a relationship with His people, such that you can't even think of life without the body of Jesus surrounding. You can't even begin to imagine life without that in a relationship. You can't even imagine the fact when the circumstances are bad that at that very moment you can go to the very throne room of God and say, God, I don't understand it. And there are times when you go to Him in prayer and you don't have to class it up when it's just you and Him. I mean, sometimes we have a gripe session with Him. Sometimes we're just pouring out our hearts. What do you think the Scripture means when it says, I was crying out to Him? That's unbridled emotion. That stuff just coming out of your soul. And who else in the world can you share that with except Him? And yet you know you can do it. And you know He is there. And you know that at the end of the day, He's not going to say to you, oh, you whiny, cry baby, get away from me. He's going to say, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come sit on my lap. Come, let me comfort you. Come, let me show you the truth. Let me correct you where you are incorrect. And so many times when I'm complaining before the God, it's because I've missed it in some way. But see, if we complain, then we've got to hang around to listen to the rest of what He has to say. Right? And let Him speak. Because I know at the end of the day, what He speaks to me is going to be good for me. He's out for my good, not my destruction. He's no colossal killjoy hanging around just so waiting for the time that He can burn me in my tracks. You know, like some, I felt like, pardon me, some school teachers that are here today, but I had a couple of teachers along the way. I am convinced that they sat there behind that desk just waiting. Just waiting. There were a couple of us in the class that from time to time would have some challenges. Just waiting for that time to burn you down. Just waiting. Now, I can't say that the reputation wasn't earned. So, how do you do it? How do you do? I've talked about a lot of stuff. Sounds good, right? Good stuff. Correct application and exposition of the Word of God? Yes? Yeah? Okay. So, what are you going to do about it? Here it is. You need to explode the lie. Stop buying in to the lie and start walking in the truth in your life. And part of that is what Brother Rick was talking about this morning. Our 9:30 service, realizing that we're in a war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Secondly, ask God to speak to you personally. I need to correct that. God's already speaking to you personally. Ask God that you can hear His voice personally. Because He's already speaking. Do you know that? He doesn't just speak to this one or that. He's speaking to all of us. The question is he speaking, but are we listening? What's he saying? I know some of you have listened to that. You've listened to me say that so many times, and you still don't believe it. Why don't you take a little chance, take a little experiment? Number three, either start or restart a personal relationship with Jesus. If you're here today and you never see Christ in your life, I want you to know today is the day of salvation. That's what 2 Corinthians 6:1 says. Oh, now's the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. Today is it. Today is the time. Don't wait. Don't wait for a better time. Don't wait for a more convenient time. Paul spoke to one of the kings there in the book of Acts. He was waiting for a more convenient time, and that time never came. How about it? Won't you receive Jesus today? I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. But maybe you just need to restart your relationship. You already belong to Him, but maybe it's time for you to you need a jump start. You need God to take His Holy Spirit jumper cables and stick them on your shoulders and hook you up to the Holy Spirit and let you have a jolt of the power of God in your life. That'll get your attention. To bring that which is dead back to life. Journey starts with the first step. You ready to take the first step? It's a step of faith. And finally, receive what God is already doing in your life right now. Accept what He's doing right now. Don't fight it. Don't fight Him. Give it up. Quit resisting Him. Live according to His plan, His way. And for some of that, what we've been fighting with attitudes, some of us have just got bad attitudes. They're garbage attitudes. Did I say garbage? And you know what garbage does after a few days? It starts to stink. You need to take the garbage out. The stinking attitudes, they need to go. They have no place with God. Change it. You can. By His power. Let Him come through you. Let the Holy Spirit of God give you the power to be a different person. I was in Harbor Freight. Imagine that. Man, if Harbor Freight would have been around when my brother first broke into electrical business, would have saved my dad thousands of dollars, because Harbor Freight has throwaway tools. And but I was walking through there, and it was something I was looking for. I hadn't quite found it, and I realized I was late already for an appointment. And so I'm starting to go out of there. Huh? No, not me. Come on now. Work with me on this. I'm always on time. And I see this guy. He's looking at this generator. $150. He said, he looks at his wife. His wife's walking behind him. He's got the buggy. Now, he's serious in Harbor Freight. He says, "That looks like a good deal." Wham! It's in the buggy. And so I'm starting to walk out. And it hit me. I had this paper where it had all these coupons in it. They sent me the money. I said, "There was a coupon in that paper for that thing he just bought." So I'm going through that thing. I get my pocket knife out. I find the coupon and it cut out. $89. $90 as opposed to $150. And I'm on my way out, and I find, and he's headed to the register. And I catch him before he gets to the register. And I said, "Here, bud, be blessed today." And I gave him that, and he looked at that, and he said, "Look at there, honey." And then, kind of out of my rearview mirror, I'm headed out the front door, and he's turned back to me. And I thought, man, that felt good to do that. Felt a lot better than what I'd said to a person at the register the day before. Do you understand me? All right. Being God's person, take a vacation from religion. Our relationship isn't in here. This isn't where it happens. It happens out there in our lives with the people that are around us that need the light of Jesus. And if it's a stupid coupon, I'll probably never see that guy again. But I guarantee you, he's thanked the Lord a couple of times because it put 60 bucks in his pocket. Let's pray. If you've never received Jesus in your life, and we've got several here today that I'm pretty confident in a crowd this size have never done that, today's the day for you. Why don't you pray with me right now? If you mean business with God, He'll mean business with you. Just ask Him. And pray like this. Dear Jesus, I thank You for dying on the cross in my place for my sin, for rising on the third day. I realize I have sinned against You. And I have no way of saving myself. So I ask You, Jesus, to come into my life and be my Savior today. Thank You. You are my Lord. If you meant business with the Lord and you prayed that prayer from the heart, just like that, you became a child of God. I'd sure like to know about it. Won't you come and let me know that you prayed that prayer? I'll be waiting here for you. But maybe today you need a restart. Maybe you've allowed yourself to get tied up in old, stale, rotten, garbagey religion that won't last, that won't make it through the times that we're in and what is ahead of us. Just not going to make it. Maybe it's time to restart. Lord, we ask You, answer these prayers today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Great. Come on up. Y'all come on up here. Now tell these folks who you are and what has happened in your life today.
My name is James Gilliam, and I have accepted Jesus Christ, my Savior.
Well, Jim's going to be up here afterwards. You may want to come by and just say an encouraging word to him, because some of you probably have an encouraging word. But he'll be right over here. But come by and speak to him today. God bless you, Jim.
Yeah, man. Sure.
God bless you. Sit down right there. We've got somebody in the church that needs a washer and dryer. Anybody's got one hanging around, let me hear from you. And let's remember to pray for one another, for all these people that have asked prayer for jobs. And let's pray for each other as we go from this place to really be the church. You know that's our deal here. That's why we don't meet you to death. That's why we don't have all this huge structure of all that, because it's simply gathering so we can be scattered back out where the real work is taking place, where the real stuff is happening. And be a blessing to one another as you go. God bless you. Go in His grace.